Here we go. Let's go to God's Word this morning. Maybe it's because of a message like today is why people tune in. Because it's not something you hear everywhere. I've got one of those today. It might bother you. Good. I never grew at all in my life unless something bothered me. You know? So let's just go with the message today, Roger. We'll see what happens. Okay, buddy? Let's just start. In a series called Amazing Grace, I'll probably have maybe another week or so. But, I may not. I might switch gears and go to several weeks on last days and end times. That's something I do. I've studied prophecy for years, and it very well may be that I'm going to do that just to get us to see from the Scriptures maybe our world and what's happening in our world right now. And I know that can't hurt nobody. You hear me? When I know that, when I get us deeper into His Word like that. So we'll see, but I know I've got this week. Let's try this one. Here we go. Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. And I've been a little serious. Now, last week was an unusual title. Remember that? I am what? Hyper Nike. How many got that message last week? Was it clear? Good. That's great. Hyper Nike. The idea is that more than a conqueror. I am more than or greater than or overcomer. So we are more than conquerors. That's what that means in the Greek. It's actually hypernikeo. It's just a Greek word, hypernike. So we're more than conquerors. Say this with me right here. Say it with me. Now, are y'all with me so far? Are we good now? All right, it's preaching time. Here we go. Say it out loud with me. We are what? More than conquerors, what? In the worst trials. Well, I was doing fine till the trial came. You're still doing fine. You're still more than a conqueror. You can make it. Help me. Another one. We're more than conquerors, what? Against any what? Adversary. I'm not saying it all goes our way. I'm just saying I'm more than a conqueror no matter what I face. The third one. Say it with me. We're more than conquerors what? Even in losses, we... One more time. How many would lift your hand and say, man, I lost this in my life. Or it might be a this or that. Or it could be a child or a husband. But you have seen that God has been with you. And even in the loss, you win. Anybody want to raise a hand? Look at the hands go up all over this room. That's what being more than a conqueror is. Stuff that you didn't... How many, when it happened, you didn't think you could get through it? Look at that. It's crazy. That's why many people are in church today. Because we're close to the Lord. That means we're better than you. It means we need the Lord. We need the Lord. We've been in ditches. And He was there for us and He helped us out. And maybe we're in a ditch now. Regardless, we want to do anything we can to try to learn more about Him, stay close to Him. Okay? So even in losses, we win. So we're more than conquerors. Say that with me. Even in bad situations, Jesus overruled them for our good. That's what we talked about last week. So that's not this week. And then finally, this one. We are more than conquerors. Say it with me. Even in the... Jesus refines us as... How many would say it was through the hard times, through difficult times, horrible situations, that's where your character was grown or it was strengthened? My character. I learned who I was, what I was made of. Okay? Good stuff, man. So now we're switching gears. That was last week. Switching gears now. Totally different gear switcher. Got it? Now here we go. By the way, if you're visiting for the first time, I use this big screen. You'll see it. You'll see the Scriptures. You'll say them with me if you would, and you'll learn something, and you'll leave going, man, I understood that better. That's the plan here today, okay? A new message today. I put it together this week in my office. It's called The Thorn. The Thorn. Say that with me. The. One more time. The. And I ain't talking about a little old pin prick. Got it? I'm talking about something like the end of a spear. That kind of thorn. A thorn that will almost leave you dead, wondering if you can make it. How can I get through it? Because my heart has been punctured. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Say, the thorn, the thorn. And then I've subtitled it. Say those three words with me. Pinned by grace. And I want to talk about this subject today. And you might say, well, this ain't going to be no good. You, be quiet. Okay? It's going to be fantastic. Let's go with a message. And we're going to go to an unusual passage of Scripture. It's in the Bible. It's something that very few people have ever, don't understand it. It's just one of those weird Scriptures. And I want to read them to you today. It's the Apostle Paul. People wonder when this happened. This happened to this man. I'm about to read it. They wonder when it happened. And there's a lot of supposition. Some people think it was a little bit later in his ministry. But if you look at the timeline, and there's actually years mentioned in here, it happened, I believe, not long after he was saved. Remember the road to Damascus, his salvation experience? He was knocked down, blinding light. He'd been persecuting Christians. Stephen had just been killed. I didn't preach this in this series, but that's Acts chapter 9. Well, probably not too far down the road, something happened to him. Well, that was quite an experience to have Jesus talk to him. He was saved, and he couldn't see good after that experience. Remember that? And he had someone waiting there to help him grow in the Lord. And then he became just a great apostle for Christ, the Apostle Paul. He wrote 13 books. Say 13. How many? Out of the 27 books in your New Testament, the Apostle Paul wrote 13 of them. And this was a man who used to kill Christians. You telling me grace, God's not a gracious God? Yes or no, amen. Your crap, he can handle it. He wants you to turn and follow him. And that's what Paul did. So it was probably early on, how far I don't know, but not many years. So something happened to him. So he's writing in the book of 2 Corinthians. He said, it's not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. Now this is the King James, that's the old Bible, that's one I use. He said, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. So he's saying, It's not expedient for me. I'm not to glory about this situation. Matter of fact, he talks about himself, but he does it in third person. He doesn't want glory through this story. He said, I knew a man, that man was him, in Christ about 14 years ago. Can you say 14? 14 years ago. Whether I was in my body or out of my body, I can't tell. Or whether out of the body, I can't tell. God knows. Such an one, he's talking about himself, was caught up to the what? Third heaven. He had some out-of-body experience. Okay? It's funny how everybody gets them now. And boy, when they get them, forget about it. They want a glory, all right? They want to get a book. They want to write them a book, get them a TV show. You know? That's not the way Paul was. He said, I knew such a man. He's talking about himself, whether in the body or out of the body. I can't tell. God knows. Verse 4. How that he, that's him, was caught up into paradise, into the third heaven. And he said, I heard unspeakable words, which ain't even lawful for a man to utter. He saw things. God showed him things. God blew his mind about what is on the other side. He saw it. He said, of such an one, will I glory? Of who? I'll glory of the Lord. But of myself, I will not glory. Yet, say it with me, of my what? Now, we're talking about the thorn today. We ain't there yet. For though I would desire to glory, he's like, my flesh would love to say everything and get a parade through town and get my TV show and the book and everything. And get rich. He said, I ain't going to be a fool. I ain't going to do that. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think above me than that which he sees me to be or that he hears of me. So something crazy happened to Paul. A vision in the body, out of the body. He couldn't tell, but it was real. And the Lord touched him. And the Lord showed him things that blew his mind. And it left him changed. Okay? The message is the thorn. Roger, just keep pushing me, buddy. Verse 7. Are you all right? You know, this Bible stuff's boring me. What's wrong with you? Hang in there. And Paul says this. So this situation happened. Verse 7. Just go ahead and read it with me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of these revelations I received. Say it with me. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Keep going. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be what? I want to talk about that thorn. That's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about what we see in that verse. What was Paul's thorn? Now, we're going somewhere. You got to hang in here with me, though. This is sort of new territory for me. And I just wanted to examine it. What was Paul's thorn? There's a lot of opinions out there. Here's some popular ideas. So bottom line, he had this experience, and Satan did something in his life. Satan buffeted him. That's called beat the crap out of him on a regular basis. Does anybody in the room have something in your life that Satan sort of just picks at that? He picks at that. At me, he picks at that. Yeah. Well, that's what happened to Paul on a big scale. And here's the thing. God allowed that to happen. He didn't stop it. Didn't mean God did it. Satan did it. But he was buffeted by God. And this was a thorn. This was a thorn. A thorn. A thorn. We hear like this. A thorn in my what? And we've upgraded it to all kinds of statements nowadays. You know what I'm saying? Here we go. Here's some of the popular ideas of his thorn. I'm going to give you what mine is. Not that I really matter. I thought this for years. Chronic eye problems. And you can pick that up from other things that he wrote in the Bible. Now, I'm not talking about he couldn't see too good. I'm talking about a stinging pain that never went away. You ever had that in your eyes before? Something where it hurt so bad? I mean, that is a terrible pain. I don't even like to go to the eye doctor to have them do nothing. Another idea. Malaria that wouldn't quit. Keep going. Migraine headaches that never go away. Ever. So after this experience, could that be what he was, just wouldn't go away? Epilepsy. Your body is just out of control at times. Swallowing your tongue, it looks like. It's pretty rough. Especially when you're trying to preach gospel to all the world. A stroke. Now, this is the one I think it was. But what do I know? I don't know. But I think it was a stroke that left him perhaps with speech where he couldn't talk as good. That'd be pretty rough, wouldn't it? When you were a great orator and great speaker, and now you've been commissioned by Jesus and you go out there and you don't get it all just right, and maybe your face contorts. Because your face, half of it's shot, numb, and then you know your arms tucked in. You might say, "Why do you say all that?" Well, I've got reasons I say that. I don't know for sure, but he had a thorn. Any of those would be considered rough. Yes or no? Amen. Are we saying yes to that? That's rough, no matter what it is. Whatever it was, he used several different words in this passage to describe it seems like. And I want to read that verse. Here it is. Well, later on, I'll read it to you. We'll get to it in a minute. He uses the word infirmities. That's the word weakness. So whatever it was made him weaker. It seems that way. Reproaches is the word insults. So maybe whatever it was, when people saw him, he was easy to pick on. He was easy to point out. He was easy to make fun of. That'd be fine if you stayed in your room all day. But this guy's going out and arguing and with false religions, and he's presenting the gospel of Christ. Necessities, that means hardships, made life hard. That's what thorns will do. They'll weaken us. They'll open us up to insults. We'll insult ourselves, so many of the things that we've gone through in our life. Hardships. And then the word persecution, that's the word abuse. This thorn, not for sure, but it seems like it opened him up to abuse. And he also used the word to describe it, distress, which is trouble. That don't sound good. Weak, insulting, hardships, abuse, and trouble. Surely that's not the will of God. For the man of God, on the road to Damascus, to get saved, he would go on to write 13 books of the New Testament. He is the reason, much of the reason, we have a church in this country today. The Apostle Paul. Surely God would not have somebody go through that. That's the modern church today. The modern church today wants you to come get your miracle. Come get your healing. Come get fixed. Come to church. Give us your money and we'll really make it all better. It's bull. God uses pain. God uses stuff like that in our life. Let's do a quick test. I'm going to do it. We're going to do a poll. How many, because of pain and suffering, trial and affliction, is something that really hurts you real bad, God used that and He used it for good and it changed your life for the better? Can I see some hands? Okay, put your hands down. How many in here, you got left money from grandma, mama, or you hit the lottery and your life was made better? Can I see your hand? It's about one of you. That's the problem with it. We don't all have your grandmother, okay? But we all do have planet Earth. And we all got problems. I'm just saying, you know what Paul did? This hurt Paul. Have I lost y'all already? This hurt this man. And so what did he do? Verse 8. Three times. This don't mean like just one time, two times, three times, real quick. No. There were three different times, seasons in his life where he begged God, take this from me. Why are you doing this? I can't go on like this. Help me! Heal me! Fix me! It's funny, we're more spiritual than Paul. You little TV jokers that you follow? So many of them are off the rails, buddy. They come across like they're better than Paul. We worship these people, and then we just get so discouraged when they fall. All of us are fallen. You follow me around, you won't like me. But guess what? If I follow you around, I'm sure I won't like you a lot either. We were called to follow him. That's right, right. I speak your language. You don't out-talk me, little kid. Now watch it. Three times I tried. I got to go, Raj. I tried to pray. Please take it from me. Take this thorn from me. Why the thorn? Why the thorn? Why the thorn? By the way, God didn't take it from him. Why this thorn? Why? Why? Why do these things happen in our life? For humility. I don't want to keep always saying it, but I do say it often. I was married 28 years. I was a pretty good husband. And my wife chose to be with somebody else other than me. Boy, that's some humility. Y'all hear me or not? And then I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to have everything right and perfect and all together. And I don't even have to mention it. I just mention it so you will think bad of me. It's okay. Because a lot of people in this room have been divorced and they know how it feels. How many would say it feels pretty crappy? Any hands want to go up? Oh, pretty crappy. It's a hard thing to go through. That's a thorn. Now, if I didn't care about my marriage, didn't care about my wife, didn't care about my family, no big deal. But Satan knew I did. Why the thorn? So that we can be overwhelmed by His grace. Ha-ha! Yeah! Boy, did I ever need the Lord during some thorny times in my life. And it opened me up to all kinds of prayer. Not just prayer. It opened me up at times in my life to cussing. Not a lot. Not a lot. But I locked myself in my room, man, and I've had it out with Him. And I know you probably don't like me for that. That's okay. I'm giving you a lot of reasons, okay? Thank you, and I love you. And God loves me. And He don't throw me out with the trash when He sees I'm frustrated and upset over something that means the world to me. Why the thorn in our life? To give us what? Makes you strong, man. This week I had two different people come see me to help them with their marriage. Why would they want to see you? You're a failure. No, you don't know who I am. Failure doesn't define me. Getting up again defines me. Making it through it defines me. Keeping my head up defines me. That's what thorns do. Thorns do that. Now, if I can just get rid of all of them, get rid of them. Oh boy, I'd love to get rid of them. It's not reality. It's made up church. Why the thorn? Oh my gosh. I think we found the reason. To teach us that what? No, I need my job. A loved one that you love so much, I can't make it without them. God says you can. You're going to find out I'm going to be enough. You can make it. I'm sorry, but you can make it. You hear me? Say, I can't live without them. And you find out, I can. Because I have Him. And He is enough. We're talking about the thorn today. That's a little all over the place. I told Roger, I said, this is going to be a little all over the place. We're still walking through. We ain't skipped the scripture yet. Verse 9. So he prayed three times. Not lay me down to sleep prayers either. These were big knockdown, drag out prayers with God. And here's what God said to him. Say it out loud. And he said unto me, say it out loud. My grace is sufficient for thee. Guess what that word sufficient means. Take a wild guess. My grace is what? Enough. My grace is enough. No, 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 I'm sick. I need this. I need to be better. It's not that I don't believe in prayer. I honestly believe in prayers more that comfort people, that come alongside people, that help people. I think If you have this so-called gift of healing and it happens on Sunday morning, but it can't happen at the hospital on Monday through Saturday, you're no better than people out here last week targeting us, trying to give us a ticket. You just target where you got your little following. Jesus didn't target everywhere he went. He went everywhere. Towns, villages, cities, everywhere, healing people everywhere he went. And they didn't limp when he got done. Prayer. I believe in prayer. But I also believe in thorns. And I don't believe thorns are bad. Well, that's just of the devil. Well, the Bible says it, that he was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of who? Satan, to buffet him. We live on planet Earth, and we're going to have things communicated to us from Satan himself. Communicate, I mean, things are going to happen to us. But God can use that for our good. It opens up the whole scriptures when you start to look at it. You start to learn why I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You start to learn, and we know all things work together for good to them, love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. Say the next part with me. For my what? Strength is made what? In what? We teach, I don't, that your strength is made perfect if you can get that healed. No, I preach your strength is made perfect in your weakness, because it's in your weakness that you're going to rely on the Lord. It's in your weakness that you're not going to live 3 weeks ahead. You're going to live every day because that's life, and life's a struggle. But it ain't bad to have a life that struggles, because they all have lives that struggle. And we're called to be salt and light, not super Christians. Anyway, what Paul say? Say that last part with me. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Why, Paul? That the power of what? May what? It's funny how people follow these miracle healers around. They get their miracle, and I wonder how long they keep following them. It's usually one and done. I'm good. Interesting thing about a thorn, doesn't go away. Therefore, the power of Christ can rest on you. I need you, Lord. I don't want to go through a day without you. I hurt. Y'all hear me or not? It's depressing. I'm almost done, though. Paul said, this happened for me to be made what? Matter of fact, when in Acts 9, where Paul gets saved, he said he's going to be a vessel for suffering. Jesus said that to him. And to others inquiring about this madman who had just gotten saved, he said, well, don't you worry about it. He's going to be a vessel that will be used to suffer. You know what? I've learned more from suffering people than people on the mountaintop. I really have. You know who can suffer? Poor people. White people, black people, yellow people, red people. Yeah. You know who can't suffer? People that's got the cat by the tail. The world by the tail. If things good. Generally speaking, regular folks suffer. Well, it don't sound like they got a great God. They do have a great God. Many of them have so much more joy than we do. Y'all hear me or not? Say, tough message. To be made fully complete. For me to be made fully complete, say it with me, I have to know that I'm what? Nothing better than a big gaping hole in you that'll help you know you're weak. How many would say to me that this morning, I'm not struggling, because I'm going to keep fighting up here. It's what I'm going to keep doing with this message. But how many would say, Pastor Gary, I have a deep hole in me. It's been there a long time, and it never went away. It never went away. Can I see some hands? Never went away. I'm not saying that you aren't functioning, but it's something that still you think about. Again, let me see. It's something you think about, Something that's touched your life in a deep way? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying we want to be defeated and go around defeated in our life. However, there's nothing wrong if I've got struggle. I just want to throw it out. I'm going to throw something out tough right here. A woman who says she was raped. Okay? I don't expect that to not left a deep gash in you. Does that make sense or not, say? Did God do that? No, Satan did that. But God wants to be your, He wants to give you grace. He wants to help you. He wants to love you. He wants you to lean into Him and know that He weeps for you and hurts for you, but that He's enough. You can make it. You're a champion. You hear me? Keep looking. For me to be made fully complete, I must stop what? Complaining. I got a thorn. Here's my thorn. If you want to talk to people about the thorn, you can use it in counseling to help people. That's fine. I got no problem with that. But look, I'm all thorned up. Stop complaining. And most people that complain, they usually complain about little pinpricks that I've met. I tell you, for me to be made fully complete, I must do what? Learn to do what? Depend on His strength. We're done with the message almost. Raj, push me now, buddy. Here we go. The thorn. Pinned by grace. Now, I haven't said anything about that little subtitle. Pinned by grace. What does that mean? Well, the thing that Satan was beating the crap out of you with, trying to defeat you in your life, that God doesn't just make go away, can be the very thing. It was meant to just kill you. Gash you. It can be the very thing that pins you. P-I-N-N or P-I-N-S. Is that right? Yeah. That pins you to the heart of God. I'm going to be honest with you guys. You say what you want. It's okay. You don't have to like me or like what I say. But I'm going to tell you this. I would take the pin of pain over the pin of a miracle. I would take the pin of the pain of the struggle because the pain has pinned me to the heart of God. It really has. I'm not better than you, but I am pinned to the heart of God. You're spiritual. No, I'm broken. And some people don't like it. You can't say you're broken, Pastor. Sure I can. Doesn't mean I'm bad. Doesn't make me bad. It makes me normal. I'm in a world of broken people, man. But I'm still standing. Smile on my face. Nobody made me come to church today. I came because I love being here. Nobody makes me sing the songs I love to sing. I'm a weirdo. I am a champion. The pain that meant to kill me, the stake, has pinned me to the heart of God. Think about that. Think about it. And it's not about me. I'm trying to relate to you. And I see so many of you with pain. I know many of your stories. So Paul said, what am I going to do with this thorn and it ain't going to go away? Here's what Paul said. I take pleasure in infirmities in my weakness now. I take pleasure in the insults. I take pleasure in the necessities or the difficulties this has caused me in my life. Wow! I take pleasure in the persecution that comes my way, that I can be found worthy to be called a follower of Christ. What? I take pleasure in my distresses and struggles in life because of this thing that's happened to me. Because Paul says, say it with me, for when I'm what? Then I'm what? So when I'm what? Then I'm what? So when I'm what? Then I'm what? But I don't want to be weak. Then you ain't going to be strong. If you try to make it look like you are, you a phony. This is called math, Bible math. To maybe one of the greatest followers of Christ ever known, the Apostle Paul. Even he struggled. But something's wrong with me. Why does this happen to me? It's because you don't have good theology. This is the Bible, man. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. God's grace and strength are manifest when His people are what? No, they're manifest when hooping and hollering and yelling. Can you imagine if you got trouble and you go to one of the hooping and hollering meetings and your trouble don't get fixed? Or you hooped and hollered and then when you went home, there it was. That's most people's world. Most people's world don't revolve around an hour with Uncle Gary on Sunday. You need more than me when you leave this place. You need Him. Because He's enough and I ain't worth a dime. Hardly, okay? God's grace and strength are manifest when His people are weak. Help me, Raj. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Base things of the world, things that are despised, has God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, say it with me, he that glories, let him what? The thorn. Jesus had them. He had them in His hands. Had them in His feet. Had one in His side. And had them shoved down on His head. But we as His followers, we're going to get rid of them. See, we're just going to name it, claim it, blab it, have it, get it fixed. We're good. Then you're not like your Master. Got it? What did Jesus say? I got the cross. It's good. Don't you worry about yours. I got it. Or did He say, take up your what? And follow me. But a lot of times we just think it's a piece of wood. I got me some wood. You forgot something. You forgot the nails that go with it. You forgot the thorns on the head that go with it. We've made it all up. Thorns are good. They're not bad. Because He was pierced for my iniquities. He was wounded for my transgressions. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon Him. Okay, by His stripes we're healed. That don't mean you... It don't mean what we've made it. It means He's enough. There's no challenge you have that you can't face with confidence and strength. Got it? Psalm 73, whom have I in heaven but You? There is none upon earth that I desire beside You. My flesh and my heart fails, but God is the strength of my heart. He's my portion forever. What Satan meant for evil, God meant it for good. Is that what Joseph said? Sort of. Why? Because it pinned me, man. I am a child of God. How do you know, Clark? Because He's with me. He never left me. I matter to Him. I may not matter to anybody else. That's not true. But I matter to Him. Last thing I want to say, and I'm done. How many remember back in the day, mothers would have a little round pen with the gemstones of the child's birth date in it? How many remember those little pens? Remember that? Were they round? I remember my mama having a round one. And it had, every time a child, there's that green stone or that blue one or that little red stone. And she would have that little pen. And she wouldn't wear it all the time. Come Mother's Day, whoop, pen pulled out. And she'd usually wear it somewhere in here, close to her heart. That's what thorns are to me now. They pinned me. Thank you, Lord. You made me a much better man, much better preacher, much better guy, much better friend. Much better follower because of the thorns. Let's thank the Lord for His word. We're done. Amen.